This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. I find it interesting as we go along to look at the home turf of Harvey Weinstein and realize that this has always been a breeding ground for scumminess. But there was a time when Hollywood at least tried to hide it. But not now. It revels in the filth. Hollywood's brightest stars are shining their love down on disgusting perverts for all to see. So if it comes to choosing between a convicted child rapist and a normal citizen, they go all Lincoln Project. And we normal people should respond accordingly. Like the reliably pinko star Mark Ruffalo, who tweeted, "We come together to mourn the lives lost to the same racist system that devalues black lives and devalued the lives of Anthony and JoJo. Hashtag reimagine Kenosha." Who's we, sucka? You mean maybe both Bruce Banner and the Hulk? Because I'm not in on that one. And can someone explain how it would be possible to devalue the likes of a convicted child rapist? What was his value? But that's a cute nickname, though. JoJo. America's sweetheart, Reese Witherspoon, was outraged that normal people have the ability to prevent convicted child rapists from killing them. She tweeted, "No one should be able to purchase a semi-automatic weapon, cross state lines, and kill two people, wound another, and go free. In what world is this safe for any of us?" Actually, citizens, Reese, should be, you know, they should be able to do all those things in conformity with the law regarding self-defense against convicted child rapists. I'm sure a JoJo would totally get by her armed security. She at least has the excuse that she might just have been being a jerk again. And then we get down to the Mandalorian himself, Pedro Pascal, with his pronouns in his bio, mourning the loss to humanity that was Kyle's lawful exercise of the right to self-defense against a convicted child rapist attacking a minor. Joseph Rosenbaum, 36, and Anthony Huber, 27, murdered August 25th, 2020. Rest in peace. You know, Disney is supposed to be targeted toward kids, and I guess Pedro misunderstood the concept. Maybe we should go all look forward to a pretty dark plot line involving Baby Yoda next season, if any of us watch. Maria Shriver, a Kennedy kid, once married to the withered Hollywood action star Arnold Schwarzenegger, had to explain to her adult son, presumably not the one that Arnold spawned another, you know, after he impregnated his maid, how it was somehow possible for normal people to defend themselves against convicted child rapists. She tweeted, "I'm trying to take a beat to digest the Rittenhouse verdict. My son just asked me how it's possible that he didn't get charged for anything. How's that possible? I don't have an answer for him." Maybe a Kennedy is not the right person to decry folks getting away with murder. Just my thought. And apparently the only people who should have guns are the armed guards defending your family compound. And I don't blame the Kennedys for using people with guns to protect themselves, because two of them were murdered by leftists. But I do resent that they don't seem to think the rest of us get to protect ourselves from being murdered by leftists, too. On the plus side, at least Alec Baldwin seems to have had nothing to say publicly about Kyle, but of course he probably will at some point. And as far as the Waukesha massacre, has any of them put out a tweet about all those crushed children and the run-over dancing grannies? Now, Maria Shriver did, to her credit, and good for her. She seems more clueless, cloistered, and entitled than evil. Mark and Reese and Pedro seemed not so chatty about this latest atrocity. I guess you got to always, it's always about supporting that narrative, right? So, in any case, how totally on brand this all is. Why is the constellation of Hollywood stars so all in on backing the pedos? And these aren't edgy artists, but mainstream actors who put out what is purportedly family entertainment. Ruffalo does comic book movies. Pascal does Disney junk. Witherspoon does big budget Hallmark movies. So, you could look at Nick Searcy, who does not play the Pico game and whose new film on the fake insurrection Capital Punishment comes out Thanksgiving Day. He observes that the studios, in league with the publicists, often make sure all the stars get the memo on the right take on the issue du jour. And few stars push back because a lot of Hollywood people come to Tinseltown young. They have little life experience and then they get some attention and then they never grow up. Many drop out of high school. They're extremely sensitive about that because all of the executives they deal with have Ivy League degrees. Adopting leftist poses is an easy way to get in the in club, to be treated like their views matter, to be taken seriously. And that's really what they want. The only needier people than actors are stand-up comics. They have this huge emotional void. And they fill it with leftist nonsense because they get rewarded for doing it. And the fact that people expressing normal views, conservatives, for example, get blacklisted is yet another incentive to go along to get along. So what do we, normal people, do? Well, we probably shouldn't be giving money to people who hate us. If you're still paying money to go see a Marvel movie and the woke Star Wars, you are empowering and paying for the culture war against you. Does it seem adverse to a conservative principle to avoid alleged entertainment put out by people just because they hate us? It was once, but there's a line to be drawn. If there's going to be a line, we need to draw it when they start supporting convicted child rapists. And I think it's sort of time to draw that line here. Joseph Rosenbaum, I know that there's a few people out there that think he decided to commit suicide by riot. There's a few people that are talking that talk. And I get it. I understand that might be a thing. But the problem comes from the fact that that's not what, you know, when he met his end, he was in the middle of an attack. And he was allowed to attack. He was allowed back out on the street to attack. He had threatened the entire group the whole time. He was using racial epithets. I mean, in the same sense as I'm saying this, he's got the BLM defending him. A Caucasian using racial epithets that normally Caucasians aren't allowed to say, even though Black America says it plenty. So, and here we have a bunch of actors who make a living pretending to be somebody else. Coming out there and telling you what you should be thinking and should be doing. And not understanding what just happened. And it's a very simple thing to explain what just happened. They're actors, out of touch people. The jurors watched the video. Simple. They watched the video. They saw the evidence and they saw the lack of evidence. They asked the questions, they got the answers, they deliberated, and they rendered a verdict. And yes, what happened in Kenosha was not a crime, it was self-defense. So if you have a problem with self-defense, I honestly don't know what to tell you. Because it's always been here, it's always going to be here. It's been deliberated for 2,500 years. What is self-defense? We know what self-defense is. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission nor more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear. Because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Now that San Francisco has seen 3 days of smash and grab robberies on the few remaining retailers that are still there, following the shutdowns of many more, Jason Bodine has decided to make some noise about being tough on crime. And the problem for him, Jason Bodine, of course, is the district attorney there, funded by George Soros, who has decriminalized a whole lot of things. And the problem for him is that nobody's buying his tough-on-crime stance. So here's what happened when he tried to organize a rally for himself in a bid to whip up public support against his recall. A lot of people showed up, and they were chanting "Recall Jason Bodine" as he and the his staff scrambled to move their press conference inside. And they just chased him off. Worse still were some of the answers he gave to the press, which up until now had been fairly solicitous. In an interview with KPIX's Betty Yu, Dateline San Francisco District Attorney Jason Bodine, who is facing a recall election in June, called this weekend's brazen robberies absolutely unacceptable and was preparing tough charges against those arrested during the criminal bedlam in Union Square. In an interview with KPIX5's Betty Yu, Bodine said that if you bring that kind of nonsense, that kind of behavior to our city, there will be consequences. Bodine said his office was eagerly awaiting more arrests and plans to announce felony charges on Tuesday. He said 25 individuals are still at large in connection with the Union Square burglars on Friday night. He also said this is not a San Francisco-specific problem. It doesn't have anything to do with local policy. Did I hear that right? Absolutely unacceptable. Like San Francisco's problem was comparable to some unruly classroom. He's doing his best impression of the old school mom tut-tutting the class cut-ups. What they have going on in San Francisco right now is an unprecedented crime wave, one so bad that more than half the city wants to move away, while city officials worry the tourist industry might have taken a hit. And he views this as all, you know, these guys are all rapscallions, and this is just a bunch of tomfoolery. It's a problem of tone, linked to an inability to fathom what's happening, which points to a rather tardy and insincere conversion as to what public sentiment is. And that claim about the looting's happening all over, so no blame to him, is utter BS, if you will. San Francisco is the nexus of the problem, and much of it has spread to the suburbs such as Walnut Creek. What's more, his lax on crime, let him out stance is not San Francisco specific. Wherever Soros financed district attorneys come to blue cities to roost, crime waves of this kind are happening today, right now, this minute. San Francisco just had more fertile ground based on it being a progressive blue city for a whole lot longer and a lot loonier than most of them. And they play stupid games, so they get stupid prizes. If you read the entire interview, it gets even more disconnected the more you read it. So, Ms. Yu says, "Do you believe that you're soft on crime?" Bodine, absolutely not. Nothing could be further from the truth. Anybody who says that isn't looking at the facts or the evidence or my record. And then he goes namby-pamby, demonstrating that, yes, he is soft on crime from a question about whether looters should be jailed, claiming each case is different, meaning exceptions to the law can be granted to all, which is the kind of news that gets out in the criminal community before it takes up their looting sprees. Again, for Ms. Yu, do you think jail time is sufficient punishment for such behavior? And if not, what is an alternative that you see fit? Bodine, I think it depends on how much time and what the criminal history is. We can't generalize. If we're going to be smart on crime, if we're going to be effective at breaking the cycle of incarceration and stopping the revolving door, we need to look at every single case based on the facts, based on the law, based on the individual circumstance. See, it's not about criminals being on the street. It's about how many of them are incarcerated. He doesn't like mass incarceration because he believes the masses are there through no fault of their own. It's a fault within the system. Then things get very bad for him, though, because he got an off-script question from a reporter he normally never takes a question from, following a police officer's statement about lack of consequences at a community meeting, and became a deer in the headlights. And I can't find the question. Where's the question? So the question is, he's talking about a lack of consequences, sir. It's your office that's responsible for doling out these consequences. What do you have to say? He was asked about being soft on crime. And if this is how things are going for him at this early stage, he's not going to make it through his recall in June. Part of his problem is he's not in a red-blue city where the blues control the ballot counting and can rig the results. He's in an all-blue city. And everyone who's against him is a fellow progressive. This gives him no leeway through the typical rigging mechanism which keeps Democrats in blue cities in power. The blue people there are mad at him. They're other progressives, and surely some have their hands on the election machinery, which should deprive them of padding rigging that normally gets unpopular Democrats through, as seen recently in New Jersey. San Francisco's locals are all progressive. So there's no one to shut out the election office. And more important for him, they seem to be onto a scam. And it may explain just why he's starting to take one pratfall after another, defending the indefensible. And it's not working. It's like looking at Joe Biden. Joe Biden, when he does actually try to put together one, sentence, one sentence that would be, I don't know, what would we consider? Would we consider it to be legible? Yeah, legible would be the word, I guess. He's attempting to defend the supply chain or gas prices or something. He has no idea what he's even talking about. He'll get out there with his, oh, come on, man. And I mean, you're waiting for him to give you the legitimate explanation when there is none in some cases. And the same in the case of Bodine. The reason crime is spiking is because it's taken this long for the word to get around that they have a revolving door. I don't know. I don't remember if they have bail reform or not, but when you've got a district attorney that's not going to prosecute you, why would you care? Why wouldn't you go with smash and grab at Louis Vuitton? I got no answer to this. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Governments around the world are quickly responding to a new COVID-19 variant, first reported in South Africa.
President Biden issuing a travel ban to restrict incoming travel from South Africa and seven other countries beginning Monday as concerns over the new Omicron coronavirus variant continue. Dr. William Schaffner is with the Vanderbilt University Medical Center's Division of Infectious Diseases. Tell CNN this is a very variant we need to be concerned about.
Clearly is a variant of concern. That notches it right up there. They're concerned about how rapidly it is spreading. They're concerned whether it causes more severe disease. And, of course, they're concerned about whether our current vaccines will protect against it.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News. After months of heat waves and drought, weather in the Pacific Northwest has flipped to flooding rain and gusty storms. Forecasters say stormy conditions in the northwestern U.S. is expected to continue with not one but two storms heading for the region. Forecasters say northwestern Washington in particular could be the hardest hit area in the U.S. A rescuer at Russia's collapsed Lisvanaya coal mine who went missing was found alive, according to officials. The rescuer was found as operations continued at the coal mine after 51 people died in the mine explosion on Thursday morning. Officials say the explosion may have been caused by methane gas. The victims of the coal mine explosion suffered from carbon monoxide poisoning. The regional prosecutor has begun an inquiry on whether labor and industrial safety laws were followed, while a government investigation arm has launched a criminal case. 43 miners have been hospitalized, with four of them listed in serious condition. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Poundy Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. There's this recurring problem of students bringing guns to school. Now, you can only imagine. And when I say kids, I'm talking about K through 12, okay? Not college. This is less than ideal, mostly because children generally aren't mature enough to exercise their gun rights, and that's why we restrict them. We also keep them from exercising a number of other rights for the same reason. God forbid that some of these kids would start voting. But regardless, kids are taking guns to school, and it's a problem in a lot of places. And parents in Louisville apparently seem to think that the issue is insufficient policy on the part of the school system. Jefferson County Public Schools cite disciplining students according to their policies and procedures, especially since 14 guns have been found on campuses so far this school year. When asked about the way the school district dealt with guns being brought to campus, JCPS references the student handbook. The behavior codes are broken down by grade level offense and category. Weapons and dangerous instruments is considered to be a level 3 or 4 offense. The behavior codes also states per board policy, anyone who handles a gun will be referred to an alternative school for 1 year and won't be able to return to their original school. Despite all of this really good stuff, William Bradley says that the disciplinary actions don't seem to keep students from bringing guns. He said, put some security in the buildings, come in, it rings, you got something, you still go with the wand. You never know what people got. I find it amusing that they think the issue is policy here, because there are already laws about carrying guns into schools, and those don't seem to be doing very much at all. Bradley at least seems to believe that some level of physical security is needed, but that's not really a policy issue. It's a logistical one. The system there operates 150 schools. If only one metal detector is given to each school at roughly $1,500 or more, you're looking at a minimum of $225,000 to install metal detectors. And the school's going to need more than one. They're going to need one at every entryway. At every width of a human, they need one if they're going to have them at all. Otherwise, they're not worth it. So and if you only have just one, then it becomes a huge problem because everybody's trying to get into school and it's only one door. Only one door. And even that isn't a guarantee. Plenty of children have graduated from schools where they had to do that. And those same children can tell you all the different ways they can find themselves to get a school onto that campus without too much difficulty. So it isn't about having a metal detector. It's not going to stop nothing. Now, the problem isn't a lack of policy or a lack of law. The problem is that we're living in a world where kids believe they need to carry a gun to school for protection. And that's happening more and more frequently, and it corresponds strongly with the increase in violent crime. We need to address the reasons they're doing it. If we did that, then the problem becomes self-correcting. Now, of course, that's easier said than done. Regardless, griping about school policy isn't really the answer. If laws on the books aren't enough, and I'm sure students who have seen others bring school guns to school only to get arrested have passed the word on that it's criminal, then new rules in the school rule book aren't likely to accomplish much either. Shifting as we go along here, I saw this article in Salon from Amanda Marcotte. I found her to become... She's actually pretty good for a good laugh on any given occasion. She's not doing that intentionally, though. If you tried to argue that she's a comedy writer, you'd have to make the case that it's unintentional comedy, because she takes it serious. And over the years, she's opined about guns and violence numerous times. And in every instance, she's shown herself to be quaint, humorous. So this latest piece from her is no different. She writes, after the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse on Friday afternoon, right-wing trolls, many of whom are elected members of Congress, were ecstatic at this prime opportunity to trigger the liberals. Representatives Matt Gaetz of Florida, Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina, Paul Gosar of Arizona, all Republicans more interested in trolling than governance, made showily public offers of an internship to Rittenhouse. Cawthorn even took it to the next level, instructing his supporters to be armed and dangerous. Never one to be out-trolled, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia let loose with some unruly, unhinged tweets about radical Marxists who are trying to start a race war, proclaiming that gun rights are the only thing holding back the communist revolution that the Democrats are waging. On the Senate side, Ted Cruz of Texas attacked the corrupt corporate media, skillfully targeting the very people he needs to amplify his message and get that sweet trolling attention. White right-wing pundits joined in on all the gleeful trolling as well. It's not just this behavior that is tasteless. It also illustrates how violence is the logical endpoint of the right-wing obsession with trolling liberals. If your goal is provoking a reaction, then violence is surely the most efficient way to do it. Unlike mean tweets and blank your feelings t-shirts, violence simply cannot be ignored. And by celebrating the violence, congressional Republicans and right-wing media are openly inviting more of it, because the reward of upsetting people on the left is just so delicious. The distinction between right-wing trolling and violence is collapsing. The problem is there's no actual violence coming from right-wing, young Ms. Marcotte, if you consider Rittenhouse part of the right in self-defense. We did see a leftist activist kill a Trump supporter not that long ago. Others have been shot in South Carolina. Still others have been shot in Utah. Then there was the Million MAGA March where the supporters were attacked. Yet, you would say Marquardt is a professional, right? She's got to have some data to back up her assertion, right? And to be certain, the escalation of violence and trolling has been going on for a while now. As Eric Bowler wrote in his press-run newsletter, the flashpoints of Republicans and conservatives promoting political violence have become ceaseless to the point of frightening normalization. To the point to where polling data suggests that as many as 21 million Americans think the use of force is justified to restore Donald Trump to the presidency. So, there you have it. She got that in Paul Gosar's tweeting of an animated video made by a third party. That's the totality of her argument. And like I said before, that's comedy gold. Because much of her argument is predicated on the idea that supporting Rittenhouse means supporting murder, which is nonsense. She doesn't come right out and say it, but it's clear enough. And the problem is that Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense. He was the one attacked. Attacked by violent leftist thugs who Marcotte seems to believe simply don't exist. And I get the argument that as many as 21 million Americans supporting the use of force to restore Trump presidency. But understand that as many as 21 million means they don't have a firm number, but they don't think there's more than that. And now frame that within a nation of almost 330 million people. That's not that high a percentage. Further supporting use of force and actually wanting to instigate force are different animals. May not seem that way, but it is. One is passive, the other isn't. And if her argument is that the line between trolling the libs and killing the libs is somehow blurring, that's a very important distinction. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
More time. This is Gun Owners News Hour. We Americans, we have a great and exuberant tradition that touches our sense of belonging and our pride in coming together. And no, I'm not referring to Thanksgiving, that festival of gratitude, generosity, and welcome. I am referring to the equally great and exuberant tradition of trash-talking other people. Supposedly, we have reformed. Ethnic slurs that were once common have retreated to the dark corners of the dive bars and the even darker corners of anti-social media. We live in a time when a whole new adamantory vocabulary has emerged to warn people away from anything remotely racist. Cultural appropriation is taboo, as must be the word taboo itself. A Tongan word appropriated into English by Captain James Cook. We worry about demeaning stereotypes and microaggressions and implicit bias, normativity, neocolonialism, and the othering of others. And surely we are more enlightened than those vile, imperialistic, hate-filled, white, heteronormative people who... Well, wait a minute, I've lost myself here. Ethnic slurs haven't disappeared. They've just slipped into a new register. Black lives matter, but all lives matter. Them's fighting words. Attacking someone else, after all, is a classic way of demonstrating loyalty to one's own group, claiming group superiority, and policing the edges. Enter Yossi Ross, a Blackfeet Native American author, Huffington Post gawker, and Indian Country Today. He's also an attorney, a rapper, and speaker and storyteller, explained on MSNBC the other day, speaking of the Mayflower Pilgrims. Instead of bringing stuffing and biscuits, those settlers brought genocide and violence. And speaking of Thanksgiving, Ross adds, that genocide and violence is still on the menu. Now, if you take this as an attempt to write the historical record, it is hopeless. The Pilgrims didn't bring genocide to America. They barely brought themselves. Half of them died that first winter in 1620-21. And for that matter, genocide was already here among Native peoples who frequently fought wars of extermination against rival tribes. The archaeological record testifies to such events, and Europeans had little to teach the Native peoples they encountered anything about ambush, torture, and the death penalty. That was well in place. But if Ross is simply attempting to show off his command of, some sort of video operative insult towards people of a tribe other than his own, he's done a pretty good job. His pitch is that the white people have a Thanksgiving mythology that portrays the pilgrims as having brought something of great value that enriches the people who are already here. Truth is, the pilgrims were broke and they didn't bring anything of value. That, however, was hardly the view of the Wampanoag, with whom the white settlers of Plymouth celebrated that feast in the fall of 1621 that we call the first Thanksgiving. The Wampanoag first saw all the pilgrims as a valuable ally against their enemies, the Narragansett, who appeared ready to attack. They signed a treaty with the settlers that lasted unbroken for 50 years. The Wampanoag also eagerly engaged the settlers in trade to gain access to European manufactured goods. Also, the pilgrims brought Christianity, which within a generation attracted a large number of Indian converts. Now, granted, Mr. Ross may see all of this as nothing of value, but who is Ross to judge the decisions of 17th century Native Americans, rendered desperate by an epidemic disease that killed most of their tribe, a disease that swept through New England years before the pilgrims arrived? The real truth is that Ross has a niche in contemporary American life that has nothing to do with his ancestry or culture. It's the niche of a professional angertainer. Plays well on TV, other media, because after all, articulate displays of anger are indeed entertaining, and also because we need some comic relief dressed up as indignation. And this isn't always or necessarily bad. You know, let's go Brandon. But humped-up anger is pretty much all the leftist media has to offer us these days. Real arguments grounded in facts are in short supply for the Bidenized left. But sneers presented as if they reveal hidden realities can still energize the base. After all, Nicole Hannah-Jones has just conjured a 600-page book out of her imaginary version of the American past. The condensed version is, "White men caused every harm, every misery, every injustice inflicted on black people from 1619 today." Ross has the advantage of brevity, though. Those Mayflower pilgrims brought a few other items that also missed his list. They brought religious tolerance, both as a principle and a practice. The Mayflower Compact guaranteed that all the settlers, only about half of whom were pilgrims, would enjoy the right to confess their own faiths. The Puritans, who arrived later and settled Massachusetts Bay, were not as tolerant. Settlers of Plymouth had one more thing: democratic self-government. Eventually, Plymouth became the model of the for the New England town, and from there, the English settlement of the whole country. Today, the left professes to despise colonialism and to see nothing but the usurpation of people and the destruction of the environment as the consequence. And that's a little odd, which, given that the left also generally favors the abolition of national borders. And I don't know if that applies in Ross's case. He may want to keep the borders, maybe expand them, you know, make it bigger, make the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana bigger. The loss of control of land, loss of independence, and other indignities by the Native Americans were experienced by many as a dismal fate. But history is complex because some Native Americans embraced Western civilization. Some sought a synthesis of tradition with the West. And some, like Ross, found places within Western tradition where accusation and anger became a new kind of currency. So in that vein, Thanksgiving, like hating Columbus, has become a ritual, hating Thanksgiving. Some people watch the Macy's Parade, some watch the football, some enjoy the homecoming of relatives. Some offer God sincere prayers and gratitude, and others make up stories about violence and genocide. Quick word about Waukesha. As we learn more about the senseless SUV attack on the crowd attending a Christmas parade, some leftist media outlets are energetically attempting to spin away from the suspect Darryl Brooks and his left-wing politics on social media. And that's funny, because with Kyle Rittenhouse, they quickly dug into his social media activity. Washington Post warned last summer the 17-year-old shadowed local law enforcement, filling his social media feeds with posts declaring that blue lives matter. Photos of himself posing with guns. For Brooks, the post lamely mentioned Brooks wrote under the name Math Boy Fly, and that after multiple legal battles, he started turning the life he lived in the streets into music. In their Thanksgiving edition, USA Today's front page explored the politics of vehicle ramming. But they shifted the scrutiny back to people who resent Black Lives Matter protests, especially the protesters that block roads and threaten drivers and passengers with violence. Reporter Dennis Wagner wrote, "Weaponizing of vehicles is a practice sometimes used by terrorists abroad, but the wanton attacks have also surged in the United States. The increase began after the police murder of George Floyd prompted Black Lives Matter demonstrations, which in turn prompted angry or fearful motorists to run over protesters." Makes it sound like protesters are peaceful and not angry. You know, some of these protesters pull guns on cars that are just driving up because this is the way they were going, and they didn't know that it was going to be filled with bodies. And then if they try to go around them, they jump in front of them then. And they beat on their cars and all this other stuff. And here's the thing about a car. This is what Masad Ayoub taught me. He told me that if they're beating on the sheet metal, you're not going to be justified if you decide to start defending yourself when that happens. If they're beating on the glass and trying to get at you, now you are. Which has nothing to do with Darryl Brooks. He took his weapon became his vehicle. He became a 911 in a Ford Escape. He used his weapon to kill a bunch of innocent people. He's got a lot of hate in him. And now he's going to get to pay that piper. Which is the way it should be. I'll talk to you again next week. Stay aware, stay alert. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.